Hey, good morning, everyone. It's about 5 minutes to kick off here for the program. But we thought we'd get some updates out of the way, some news, and then we'll get to our guest, Sarah Peterson, this morning. A little bit of music from Joel and Woody and the Boys of the Road Crew. Heat, yes. Even by Arizona standards, even for a dry roasted nut like me, it has been a tad bit excessive. Here in Kingman, we are usually running all maybe 100, 105. But we've had almost a week of about 110 degrees, and we are having record heat and don't see much end in sight. Let's see if I can we've got downtown. Okay. Scoops on 66 opened yesterday. Looks like it was a great success. And we have Sarah with us this morning. How are you, Sarah?
I'm doing great.
I will button up all this news and get this out of the way, and we'll sit down and do a little bit of a visit. Hey, we've got Scoops on 66 downtown just opened between 2nd and 3rd Street downtown. Right around the corner, if you want something a little bit healthier, you got the Healthy Bar. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Don't be deterred on Beale Street by the construction. It's just a bit of a transformation that was a long overdue. Lots of exciting things happening in Tucumcari. I will be posting that later today. But for more information, go to Tucumcari Main Street or visit Tucumcari NM. They've got some great projects taking place down at the Railroad Depot. I think you're going to find that interesting. And if you're looking for a business opportunity, the Odin Theater is going up for sale. It opened in 1936. And I understand there's a great grassroots initiative. This can probably learn a little bit from today's program. They're working on putting together the 1916 Princess Theater in Tucumcari. Well, let's get to our theme music from Joe and Woody and the Boys of the Road Crew. And we'll have a nice inspirational discussion with Sarah Peterson.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
You know, I mentioned Scoops on 66. It was just brought to my attention. I just had a note come up. The ice cream is absolutely delicious, but they do have some dairy-free options for you as well. Something to keep in mind, kind of a way to beat the heat. Miss Sarah, how are you doing this beautiful morning?
I'm doing fabulous, Jim. It's good to be here.
Are you holding up okay, you and your family, with this heat?
We're doing great. It's always the time of year where you kind of question, you know, everything else about Kingman, and the weeds pop up and it's hot and you just don't want to go outside, but it's not long and it's okay.
Yeah, we adapt to it. This is a little bit excessive even by my standards, but I always tell people that if you think it's hot, what you want to do is drive down the Needles with the air conditioner off and the heater on. And when you come back to Kingman, you realize it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You just got to have perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, I'm so glad you joined us today because I work a lot with communities like Tucumcari. And there's a lot of passionate folks. They don't know where to begin, where to get started. They want to contribute to their community. And I, for one, am inspired by all that you do. Sometimes I just flat get exhausted just following your exploits. I don't know how you do this.
Well, it's interesting because I moved to Kingman in 2010. And when I first came to Kingman, my husband had just finished some time with the Navy, and we had been stationed in Annapolis, Maryland. And so we were on the East Coast, and there was lots of culture. I was in a fantastic neighborhood, and I was, you know, researching Kingman, Arizona, and I was a little nervous. I actually pulled my kindergartner out of school the last 2 months because I thought, oh, I haven't seen anything good about schools in Kingman. I better practice homeschooling now. And I got here and, you know, I was a little bit sad. I felt like I went to this desolate, dreary waste. You know, and I felt like it was a desert, both culturally and then, you know, obviously the climate here. And you know, as we go along, you'll see that my perspective has changed a lot since that time. But that was kind of what I felt when I came. I just felt a little bit sad coming to Kingman. So,
well, when I first moved here in the summer of 66, and I was just a kid, but I got to tell you, I thought this was the place they had warned me about in Sunday school.
Yeah.
It was scary. But, you know, the more time you spend in Kingman, and it's definitely improved a lot because we have people such as yourself and your family moving to Kingman. But you realize, you know, this is a pretty amazing town. There are some just absolutely wonderful people in this community. It's yes. And making some huge differences. And you, the contributions you and your family have made here are just, I don't want to give you a big head so your hat doesn't fit. But just such things as bringing art to the community, the Beale Street Theater Project. These are all just amazing things that's transforming this community.
Yeah, it's exciting to have just even been a part of it. And, you know, I can tell you a little bit about how some of these things got started.
Yes, please.
We were here for a couple of years, and then the training opportunity that my husband was seeking when we came here ended. The doctor that he was supposed to train under and was working with passed away suddenly, and so we had to find another option. And so we left Kingman for 3 years while my husband did a residency. And so we left Kingman, and we were planning to never come back, you know. And partway through my husband's residency, he just was kind of realizing that no one had replaced that doctor. He'd already worked in that clinic, and he decided that there was an amazing opportunity here for him, and he decided to come back. And I was like, wait a minute. The good thing, though, at the time is we were experiencing a miserable winter. And so I was like, okay, during the winter, talk Kingman to me, honey. You know, that's the time to convince me. And when we came back, you know, I decided that I was not going to complain about Kingman. I felt like it was a wide open opportunity, and there was a blank canvas. And I thought, I'm in a position, I can maybe do some things. If there's something that isn't in Kingman that I want, maybe I can create it. If there's something that I don't like about the school, maybe I can volunteer. Maybe I can change it. If there's something I don't like about, you know, the community. So I had this really positive attitude, and I'm totally an idealist. And, you know, looking back, feel like maybe I was a little naive. But, you know, one of the things that I really, really wanted in Kingman was an art community. while I was away, I had worked on my Master of Fine Arts degree for, I think, 6 years. I started when I had 2 kids, and I finished when I had 6 kids. And I had, you know, this new master's degree, and I really wanted to teach at, I thought I wanted to teach at the community college. You know, that would be a great place to teach. I'm going to go, you know, teach art, and I'm going to build up an art community. And just the way that things have gone, it's the community college is a little more vocational focused, and a lot of the arts had kind of dwindled, and I didn't see a community there that I could really jump into. And, you know, and I thought, oh, and the community college is across town, and then I'll have to pay for more babysitting. Maybe I'll start my own art studio instead. And that was kind of where it got started, was just this desire to create an art community and have an art studio. And it just kind of expanded from there. I thought, oh, well, you know, we need other art. We need other stuff. We need music, and we need theater, and we need dance, and we need drama, you know, all these other things. And I don't know how to explain it, but there was a fire lit in my heart. I think we all know when something, it comes to us from outside of ourselves, like that inspiration, you know?
Well, sir, you know, the first thing is attitude. You know, if I wanted to meditate on how bad things are every day, I could depress a corpse. but, you know, instead we turn around and we look at things from a different perspective. And second of all, you know, I believe that we're all blessed with gifts and talents, so we can be a blessing unto others. And the Beale Street Theater Project, the performing arts that you brought here, the theater groups, this has really been transformative. It's positive. It gives kids the best of both worlds. Life here in Kingman, a good rural lifestyle, strong family, but it also gives them the culture. It gives them exposure to something a little bit more, encouragement to do more.
That whole process, I kind of look at it now, and it's just miraculous to me, because I had it in my head, we're going to start this cultural art center in Kingman. And I was looking at properties, and I was having little rah-rah meetings at the library, like, we need the arts in Kingman, and trying to start a nonprofit arts organization. And I just felt so strongly that we needed to bring the art to Kingman, to unify us as a community, to have that humanity and that culture. You know, I just, like I said, it was like there was this fire in my heart, and I thought, this is so important. We need this. And so I look at it now, and my life was crazy. I mean, my life is always a little crazy, but if I didn't have that fire, I don't think I would have even tried. I mean, I had 7 kids, including twin toddlers and an infant. And I was, you know, going to all these meetings and trying to rally up and find people. And whenever I feel like when something's truly inspired, it's not just me that was getting this inspiration. There were a lot of good people. And there had been efforts in Kingman to bring arts here. It wasn't like there weren't artists and art opportunities and people that desired to have art. I mean, it just wasn't unified. It wasn't organized. But the theater was what really was the catalyst. And the old theater on State Street, or on Beale Street, but it was called the State Theater at one time. At the time that I came, it was called Boston Antiques. It was this old, junky antique store. And it was for sale. This property was for sale. And Jim, I have to tell you about the first day that I went and saw this building. Because it's a little thing, but sometimes the little things make all the difference. So if you can imagine, I'm in a rental house with my 7 kids, my husband's working, and I just was burned out, and I did not want to make lunch. I just thought, I'm going to take my kids and we're going to go eat somewhere. And we went to the Garlic Clove, which is now, what's it called now? The restaurant that's at the Garlic Clove.
The Mexican restaurant across from the coffee shop.
Yeah.
The name escapes me as well.
So we went to the Garlic Clove and we sat at the table and I ordered lunch for my kids. And, you know, the server came up and said, "Hey, someone paid for your lunch." This is going to make me cry. Like, it's just a little thing, but it was this act of goodness, an act of kindness for a frazzled mother with a ton of little kids. And they even gave my 11-year-old a $5. You know, she handed $5 to my 11-year-old and said, "Hey, they noticed that you've been, you know, really kind and patient with your siblings, and they thought you deserved a little reward." Now, if you want to give a lesson to a young man, I can't think of a better way to, you know, just do something like that. Anyway, so here I am. Suddenly, my heart is light. Everything looks beautiful. I see the world with rose-colored glasses, you know, and that act of kindness, I mean, that just totally changed my outlook in my day. And I was like practically skipping down Bill Street and with my children in tow to go look at this property that was for sale. And I walked in and it was full of junk and whatever. And I went into the room, which is the theater part. And it was like angels started singing, like, "La," you know. And I said, "Oh, it's a theater." I had no idea it was a theater. You know, it was here. And it looked like the room upstairs in Hogwarts where the furniture is just like stacked up miles high and there's just junk everywhere. It was, I mean, it was so, so full of stuff. And it just, it was pretty rough. But all I could see was the potential and the beauty. And like, this is a theater. This is what we need. This is how we're going to have a performance venue. And so it was just, anyway, it was awesome. And so, you know, in this property, it was for sale and it was not expensive. My husband and I, it was funny. We had just paid off like our credit cards. We were saving money for a down payment. You know, we'd gotten out of residency. We had 9 people crammed into our minivan, which, you know, we had like doubled up the car seats on the thing in the back. So we had like these extra car seats in the rows, and we just had, and we needed a new car really badly, and we were saving for, you know, we wanted to get this, a nice 12 passenger van. Well, we decided instead of getting the nice van, we'd just get an old Ford white van to, you know, fit our family, and that we'd use the money we were saving for the car to put a down payment on the theater instead. So anyway, the thing that happened was when we purchased the theater and gave it a name, Beale Street Theater, and got the art, the organization started, it became real. You know, we'd had all these people, "Oh, you know, that's been tried, you know, Kingman, good luck with that," you know, and then suddenly there's something tangible, something to work toward, something for people to rally around. And, you know, I actually no longer own the theater. We just kind of transferred the ownership to the nonprofit so that we could raise funds for renovating it. And we didn't start with, you know, it was such a grassroots effort. We had a theater as soon as we closed on the building. It was given a, you know, condemned status. Like, we weren't allowed to do anything in it because it wasn't up to code and all these kind of things. So we couldn't even have anything in it. Everything, I mean, the structure is awesome. When we did a lot of the analysis, it has these awesome original bowstring presses that create beautiful acoustics, and the structure was super sound, but every other thing needed to be gutted. The plumbing, the electricity, you know, the bathrooms, like everything. And it was an interesting place. You know, it had been the movie theater, and then it had been a church, and then it had kind of been a music store and a place for concerts. And you could kind of tell it was like Party Central upstairs. when I took my kids up into the upstairs, I had to be like, okay, don't look too closely at the graffiti on the walls, you know, that kind of thing. But, I mean, you can go in it now and see already it's taken time. It's taken a lot of time and effort and money, and we haven't had funding, you know, from the city or from anything else. It's been private donors and a grassroots effort from the community, starting with just doing productions, you know. It's been, and we don't have a facility. We have to use the high schools or whatever we can, and it's rough, but I can't even believe, I'm just touched every time I see a production and have just watched them, you know, increasing in quality over the years. And every time one of these, especially the big musicals, when it comes together and I see all the lives it affected, like, it just feels like a miracle every time. And I know why I had that fire in my heart, because I've seen impact on our community through the theater and through the arts.
You know, it's, everybody needs a well-developed, a Don Quixote complex, jousting at windmills. So every community needs that. And sometimes, Sarah, it's the timing. You know, you mm-hmm. mentioned that this has been tried before. Well, you know, it's the walking tour that Kingman Main Street has done. That was first pitched in 2014. And there's been fits and starts, but it wasn't the time. Mm-hmm. The people weren't in place to build the team. The leadership wasn't there yet. It was premature. Mm-hmm. But what you showed up at the right time. You provided the leadership. You provided the incentive. And you had the passion and the desire. Yeah. That's infectious. Your enthusiasm and passion for these projects is truly infectious. And that's a key component to all of these projects. Community revitalization is having someone in leadership that has an infectious enthusiasm and excitement. You're possessed of that.
Well, and it's funny because I mean, now, you know, even at the time, I didn't grow up doing theater. Jim, I played basketball in high school. I am an artist. I grew up in a family of artists, and I really, really believe in the importance of the arts, but I didn't know anything about theater or production or anything. I don't do a lot of hands-on stuff with the theater part or with the organization or, you know, but I think there is something about being the idealist that has a vision and that can share the vision. And, you know, I joke, I have 7 kids. I'm really good at giving birth. You know, I feel so humbled. I feel like I just kind of gave birth to the idea, and then it takes a village to raise the child, right? Mm-hmm. It takes so many people and so many other people to really take that idea and make it grow. So, you know, the person on the theater side that's just, you know, been amazing, you know, she's like the adopted mother that just took it all and is actually raising the child, is Christina Mickelson, who, Yes. Amazing, amazing woman who has just really held it all together. You know, if I was the one that stayed in charge, it would have fallen apart a long time ago. So like I said, I'm the visionary. I'm not really good at like the systems to get it in place. But I just, like I said, so many volunteers have come together, so many people who want this for our town. And then when they experience the magic of the performance and the music and the art, and you know, it just, it takes a village. It takes a community, and that's the importance of it. It does. It brings people of all walks of life, of all political affiliations, religious affiliations, socioeconomic status, and it brings them together to do something amazing and bring this piece of humanity and culture to our little town. And it's like, I feel so humbled that I even like had a part in that and in bringing that about.
Well, you've got another attribute here. Like I said, I don't want to give you such a big head. Your hat doesn't fit, but you've got the ability to realize that it's not a Sarah show. It's a team effort. And you recognize your gifts and your talents, and you recognize that your shortcomings, that you need people with other gifts and talents to fill in those holes. But you know, the theater and your arts, that alone would be absolutely amazing and exhausting with seven kids. But you've also have Avant Print and Frame here that keeps you busy. And now you've taken on the Healthy Bar.
Right. I know my husband's like, you know, should we just sell it all? But I think it is partly just that idealist side of me. And I want to create something better. I think I just have that drive to do something, you know, make it better. And one of the other things that I saw in Kingman, you know, here was my goal when I came to Kingman. If there's something that I felt like was lacking, then I need to do something about it. And I didn't feel like we had very many healthy options. And, you know, we purchased a block away from the theater, another commercial building, with the intent of having it be kind of the space for the arts classes and some of the cultural stuff. And, you know, once again, it's been a longer road and lots of evolution in the idea, but it's kind of coming around. And we, part of that vision for this artsy space was to have a little healthy cafe or some kind of restaurant. And that became the Healthy Bar, which is a juice bar, smoothie, salad, bowl type restaurant. It's kind of a fast casual type restaurant. And everything on our menu is real food. Like there's nothing processed. There's everything. And it's, you know, I'm not personally always a strict vegan or anything, but you know, holding to the ideals, the restaurant is whole food, plant-based. Everything is real. And I just really love that about our little restaurant. And I love having that in downtown. It's been a challenge. And I think just like the theater, you know, I think when we purchased the theater, we thought we could get it done in a year or two. And now we're going on, that was 2016 when we purchased the theater. So, I mean, it takes time. But anyway.
The location for your Healthy Bar on 2nd and Beale, that's a great location, and it's even better now because with Scoops right around the corner on Andy Devine, when you have some of that delicious gourmet ice cream and you're just instilled with guilt for eating such a wonderful treat, you can wander around the corner and have something healthy to balance it out.
Or the opposite. You can eat something healthy at the Healthy Bar and get your good salad, and then you could say, okay, I totally deserve a scoop of ice cream. I feel like it's a great combination. I'm so excited. Agree. Yeah, I'm so excited for them to be there. Like, when I learned about the plan for the Airstreams and Scoops and the coffee shop there, like I couldn't be more thrilled to have such an awesome neighbor behind me. And I just love the innovation and kind of the renaissance that we've been experiencing on Beale Street. And I'm so excited for this project. I mean, it kind of stinks right now. We're like right in the middle of construction. Every drop of sidewalk, all our parking's gone. You know, it's hard to get to us, but it's going to be awesome. And I can see the big picture. So I, of course, am thrilled with that construction going on right there. And so happy that our city is, you know, and all the people that really pushed for that and our Main Street group, it's going to be beautiful. And our downtown is going to become even more special than it already is.
I agree. The Renaissance is well underway. It's taken a while. Like you said, the theater's been taking a few years. We started on some of these projects in 2014. And sometimes it seems like we're pushing a wheelbarrow full of fat people up a hill with a flat tire. But it's making progress because it's a team effort. And one of the things that you've done too that I really admire about your projects, their central theme is building a sense of community, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's really exciting what is happening downtown, and you've been such a big part of this. I'm almost afraid to ask if you have any other projects simmering on the back burner.
Well, that was a question. I just went to a reunion a few weeks ago, and that was the question that I kept getting. Okay, so what are you going to try to do more stuff, Sarah? But you know, there are more projects always, and part of it is I think trying to improve. I'm going to try to rebrand the building to just call my whole commercial space right there, even kind of the Healthy Bar, to be under the umbrella and just call it Beale Street Studios, just to show more of what it is that we have art classes. The nonprofit runs the classes in the studio, and I have a gallery there, and there's some other things going on, but I just, you know, I kind of want to rebrand that to just call it Beale Street Studios. And then school education. I told you when we first got to Kingman, or when I first knew we were coming to Kingman, I pulled my kindergartner out of school because I thought, oh, we're going to have to practice homeschooling. And, I feel like definitely the options have gotten better, and they've just, you know, there's so many people in Kingman that care, but also, I think COVID showed us that, you know, there's other options, and I've been part of the micro school movement, and I really would love to develop a micro school in my downtown building that is art centric. And it's a process also. We've kind of had a trial run last year. We had a few students and that were under a charter school umbrella, but you know, steps. But my overall vision would be to, you know, during the week, you know, in our school district, pretty much all the schools are Monday through Thursday, and so Monday through Thursday you'd have a school in there. And another exciting thing that's happened downtown is the Small Business Development Center and the Mojave Community College downtown campus has come about. Yes. And so you have this awesome opportunity for collaboration. And so this hasn't all happened yet, but what I would love to see is kind of a micro high school that has art and business focus, you know, entrepreneurship, get children or older teenagers that are getting ready to go out in the world, trying to find them avenues, internships, mentors, and in the community, and work with the Small Business Development Center, and have some things available there. And so, that's kind of coming along, but I think it'll take a little more time. But And we'd still do the community classes on, you know, after school hours and weekends and everything like that at the space. But I just love the idea of using it for that. And you know, we've done a few of those things over the years. I actually had a mini private school downtown. We rented a house on Spring Street. I think it was 2017-18. It was a great learning experience, but my building wasn't ready. We hadn't renovated it yet. We tried there and it just didn't work for the kids we had and the space. So we rented this house on Spring Street and then it sold. And so we had to do the school at my house. So there were 15 kids coming to my house every day. And my husband was like, okay, next year, everyone's in public school. We're not doing this anymore. But, you know, since then, like I said, I've been part of this micro school movement that has blown up with COVID. And I feel like there's a lot of opportunities there to just give kids the best of both worlds, especially where, you know, Kingman's growing, the schools are crowded, and I really admire, like I said, the options have improved and there's some really great educators, great administrators and schools here now, and programs like the Cambridge program and some of the vocational programs and things. But I just think, you know, the more options, the more niches and the more kids we can reach and meet their individual needs.
I'll send you some information. There's a couple places. I've been very fortunate. I have an opportunity. I try to tie, I offer my services to schools when I go to places and do presentations or programs. And a few schools have taken me up on this, and I've been very privileged to be able to speak in schools throughout the United States, as well as Europe, Germany, and other places. But I found there's a couple places, and I'll send those to you. Jackson Makerspace in Jackson, Michigan is a very innovative trade school. I don't know if that's the right way to look at it. It's kind of a hybrid. It's a very fascinating program. I'll send you some information on that. I have a couple of questions here that's been sent in. Nolan Stoltz has asked about artist residency programs. He said there used to be one in Kingman, and he was wondering if there's going to be a return to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So the Art Hub building, which currently houses the Kingman Center for the Arts Gallery, which is part of the nonprofit organization that we started, has that space where the residency was. And that residency started several years ago. And by Seth Engel and the Engel family to kind of add more arts and culture to the community as well. You know, they wanted to bring more art. And so they renovated that building, and there were apartments upstairs and studio space downstairs for the artists. And it was a really neat thing, but there was just a lot of challenges with it. Bringing a lot of different kinds of people together. We also had a lot of, like I said, just challenges. And so when our nonprofit organization became viable, and it was a very, you know, it was stable, I guess. The Engel family said, hey, would you like to take over this residency? And but they didn't really want to keep doing it as a residency. So I don't know. Right now, there are not plans for the residency to come back. That space has been integral to the nonprofit organization. It's where we have the nonprofit gallery, and there's gallery shows and volunteers, and it's become this awesome space. And then they use the upstairs as kind of a Airbnb or a rental space, and that helps fund the nonprofit. So it's been a really good thing, mm-hmm. instead of something that drain, you know, the the resident was great, but it was, there was, you know, this money that was funding it. It didn't really fund itself. So, and like I said, there were a lot of challenges, and a lot of that with people coming from foreign countries, there were, you know, at least one that just disappeared right after, you know, they used that to get into the country and disappeared. So, you know, there was just challenges. So, and part of it was that the Doug and Becky who were kind of running the residency, they wanted to go and do some service in Africa. So they didn't want to take care of their residents. So, anyway.
Sarah, you know, I greatly appreciate you taking time for your schedule to do this morning. As soon as I can get this published today, I'll have it up. And I'll also put up information about how people can donate to the Beale Street Theater Project.
Yes.
And I'll have links to some of your other projects. But I'm really grateful for you taking time to do this, because folks need real inspiration about how just ordinary people with a little bit of passion and, like, say, an infectious enthusiasm, you can build a team and, well, you can change your corner of the world for the better. And when you start reaching out and affecting future generations, there's just absolutely no telling where those ripples are going to end up.
Yep. It's kind of neat to see how far things have come in a short amount of time. And like I said, I just feel really humbled to be a part of it.
Yes, Sarah. Well, thank you so very much. I know you have to run, and I think I've got some things I'll forward over to you. I think that, might give you more ideas. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, but I'll send you some over some things about your educational programs. I have found some really interesting ones. Here in the States and overseas, I just met with an interesting ophthalmologist, and I'll share his story in the future. I hope to get him on the program. The short version is he and a doctor in Nepal transformed cataract surgery and lens replacements and for developing countries, Navajo Reservation, other impoverished areas, and pretty astounding. But I'll get all that information over. I think you'll find it very interesting. I want to thank you so very much, Sarah, for everything you're doing. Thank you for joining us this morning. And as you know, if I can help with any of your projects, please holler. The worst that'll happen when you ask for help is I laugh hysterically and just tell you that ain't happening. But I'll jump in where I can.
I appreciate that, Jim.
Thank you. My friends, we will take off for this morning. I know everybody's got a full schedule. Next week, we're going to be talking to Wade Bray. He has developed the Angel, his company has developed the Angel Delgadillo exhibit at the Kingman Powerhouse Visitor Center that will be unveiled next week. He's also behind the AAA Route 66 Road Fest in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's got some pretty interesting centennial projects simmering on the burner. That's next week, same time, about 7 o'clock. And, until then, my friends, take care and... Vaya con Dios, mi amigos. Miss Sarah, take care, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye-bye, my friends.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road, take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride, Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Take care, my friends, and we'll do this again next week. 7 o'clock, Mountain Standard Time. Until then, well, you take care, and we'll talk soon. If you have any questions, send them along, and we'll see if we can get them answered for you. Adios, my friends.